Welcome to the Friday, October 7th, 2011 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm recording today from Jacksonville, Florida. Thursday was the day for Critical Control number 4. Critical Control 4 deals with security configuration of network equipment. The overall idea, of course, is very similar to what we discussed yesterday when we talked about securing the configuration of hosts. But from what I've seen in the past, people don't really think about network devices as computers and frequently just leave them alone and are happy if they're working and they don't have to configure them. If they are applying some configuration, it's usually just some simple VLANs or something like that, but the device itself is typically not locked down and monitored for changes. Remember that modern high-end switches, really, they run full Unix or BSD-based operating systems, and they may get compromised just like any other systems. I've seen in at least one case a switch getting compromised without the attacker actually realizing that they had control over a switch. They thought they had a server compromised in this particular case. We've talked about layer 2 security in a number of prior diaries to point out how important it is to lock down in particular switch configurations. Rob, in his diary, has, well, as he usually does, provided some great hands-on configuration examples. And Microsoft today gave us the usual pre-announcement for its October security bulletins. We should expect a total of 8 bulletins affecting Windows, .NET Forefront, Unified Access Gateway, and Microsoft's host integration server. 2 of the bulletins are rated critical, the rest important. One of the critical ones affects Windows and Internet Explorer, so it's probably your typical Internet Explorer rollup patch that we typically see in these monthly patches. Overall, it looks like an average patch month. In related patches, but actually not coming from Microsoft, we do have one patch for LibreOffice, which fixes a vulnerability in the LibreOffice Word import function. In malware today, trusteers are reporting about a new version of SpyEye that is pushing ahead on integrating the mobile device better into the malware ecosystem. We have seen before attempts of mobile malware to intercept, for example, SMS messages that the bank uses for two-factor authentication or for transaction notifications. So far, the malware really had a hard time getting the user to install the malware on the mobile device and then also installing malware on the PC kind of at the same time. To avoid this problem, the latest version of SpyEye is trying to take the mobile device out of the equation, and it's taking a different route. As common for malware, if technology fails, well, it's going for social engineering. In this case, SpyEye inserts a message into the user's browser session while the victim is browsing the bank's website. And then this message informs the user, hey, we do have a special phone number for you. We will send you a SIM card, and all you have to do to use that new phone number that's very secure because we sent you the SIM card again, you just have to change that phone number in your bank's online configuration. So the user is now tricked into changing the configuration to use the attacker's phone number instead of the user's phone number for these notifications. And now, of course, the user will no longer receive these notifications. I'm not really sure how well this works, but it's an interesting approach, to say the least. And I assume everybody heard about Steve Jobs passing away yesterday. Of course, there are some isolated scams trying to take advantage of this. Sophos is reporting about one scam in which users are tricked into filling out a phony survey revealing personal information. The survey claims to raffle off free iPads in memory of Steve Jobs, and what it's really after is your information. In new Android malware, we do have one sample reported by Trend Micro that uses a block as its control channel. The malware is not distributed via the Android marketplace, but instead via a third-party Chinese application store. It's also asking for a large set of permissions, so that may tick off some of the more alert users. Not really clear why they use a blog versus just some other regular website. Maybe they're trying sort of to blend in class. Actually, recently I've talked about sort of some of the more covert control channels like this. And for example, if someone would use like Wikipedia, then you may not see that in your systems as a site, as an odd site that people keep visiting that they haven't visited before. Because that's what I usually tell people with these web-based command channels. The easiest way to spot them is by looking for websites that are sort of in your top 10 today, but yesterday nobody visited those websites. So this may try to bypass these kind of detection mechanisms. And I haven't really talked much about breaches lately. Well, we didn't really have too many interesting ones. There's one interesting one today. In this case, the German web hoster Hetzner Online was compromised, and with it, possibly customer passwords were leaked. One sort of message I saw from a customer, he complained about having to change hundreds of passwords. One thing, just from a user point of view, first of all, your provider doesn't necessarily have to know these passwords, and even if they do, make it easy to change your passwords. It's usually also helping you to regular change them in a planned fashion. Anyway, this is it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Tuesday probably, because Monday is a small holiday, Columbus Day here.